Blog Talk Radio.
Today we're going to talk about an interesting event or an interesting place. At least it was for me in terms of slavery. Because we're going to talk about the state of Oregon, located in the Pacific Northwest. As a student in all the way through college, I had always come away with the impression that blacks were only in the South, that there was no representation into the West. And while this is completely false, I didn't realize it until I was in my 50s and visited California and found out about the Nancy Monroe Gooch family and other blacks that were in Coloma, El Dorado County, at the time and of the gold rush. Certainly my idea and what I had been told led me to believe that all blacks were in the South picking cotton. And I found out that that was completely not true. There were people in the West and they were doing well. The time that they were in the West was during the 1840s. And there were ministers there because they had a black church. Came from Wilberforce and came to that area to preach. And there is no slow encroachment, evidence of a movement moving slowly across the country to get there. So we jump from Ohio to California. As I'm doing this, I'm doing some typing to invite people to the program. And it's just slightly distracting, but I'll be completely with you as we do this. Because this is information that we need to know. We need to know that we have been successful in places in the United States. And with that we are not as depicted in history, because history depicts us as less than academically, intellectually, and otherwise. But when I found that in the 1840s, these people owned hundreds of acres of land, they were building, or they had orchards and were selling fruit wholesale. Since that time, and contrary to what the state of California told me, that there were no living heirs. There are heirs, and they are working diligently on fleshing out the project of which they started, which is the recognition and acknowledgement of what took place in the 1840s in California. So it's not really so surprising, although we're moving up 100 years, and we're looking at World War II. Oregon was included in the United States, and they had in the state constitution, territorial and state constitution, an exclusion that excluded black people. Now, why would you exclude them if they weren't there? And so what we find is that, indeed, there were people there. When we look at history, we find that the first ones that arrived, the first black people that arrived, were back in the 1500s, because many black people were sailors. Don't let them, the concept come across your mind that we didn't explore the world, because there is evidence that when Columbus came to the Americas, and remember, Columbus never set foot in North America, that those people were trading with Africans in the 1400s. And so we see that there is a degree of intellect, their degree of practical knowledge that is there. So it should not be so surprising that we have been all over the country. At one time, or not at one time, but there has been a body discovered in Washington State. And this was a couple of decades ago, maybe. I'm not sure the exact date that these happened. But the forensic pathologist that looked at the remains, and that was basically a complete corpse, that was dated back 9,300 years. And the forensic pathologist said this guy is not Native American. Probably from Southeast Asia, the Polynesian Islands, which has a high percentage of black blood there. Why is it so important that we hide questions that people could have been involved? Because slavery required a perception of people that we were, that white people were the best thing that ever happened to them. Now, this program, while we feature black life, is not intended only for black people, because there are people of all races that did not know this history, because we have selectively posted what we want, and it's full of holes. We often talk about the fact that we learn from history, but only if the history that we learn is accurate, if it's factual, based on fact. And as we dig deeper, we find out, no, that's not the case. Some people are carrying around a weight on their shoulders that they don't need to carry. Now, before I get too far into the program, I want to give you a number. I hope to give it again, because sometimes I get so excited that I don't come back to the point. But many of you are listening on your devices, that is, like a computer, even by phone. If you're on an internet connection, I don't see you, because the dashboard that I have is only for those people who call in. And I'll give you that number because I love to engage with people to have comments come up that we can talk about. And the number that you would call in, and you don't have to do this. The only reason that you would is if you have a comment, a question, suggestion, or maybe just disagree with me, is 646-668-8217. Again, that number is 646-668-8217. And while I'm giving that information, I want to pass on some sad news. It's somewhat hard to take, but the originator of the platform that we are on here, not Blog Talk Radio, but the Crown Talking Drums, wife is in need of prayer. She is very ill, and we need her, our prayers for her. That being said, we'll return back to what we're talking about. And that is, many people are walking around of all races that do not have a factual concept of our history. And this is one of those points, because as Oregon was a state, or initially a territory and then into a state, it was the Oregon Territory, and Washington split off. Washington State split off from Oregon, so we have two states there. And what we find is that in the 1940s, as we were entering World War II, we needed ships. We needed a lot of things being built, and they had shipyards there. Now, the percentage of black people in Oregon was extremely low, extremely low. But as we got into war, they were advertising for people to come to the Pacific Northwest, the area of Portland, to seek jobs. And a number of black people flooded the area. I don't say flooded because we're talking in the low thousands, but it shows what black people were facing. The lack of opportunity, the lack of jobs all over the country gave people the impetus to move. As we see in so many cases, there are books such as Warmth of Other Suns. And if you are looking for books, I suggest that you go to AmazingBlackHistory.com, which is my blog site. We post programs on there that we use for our discussions on Sundays. And at this point, we have over 300 posts. And what we do, we've realized that many people learn differently. And what I want to do is not just bring up a sentence or two to make you aware, but what I want to do is to bring up those facts that we can discuss that have been hidden from us throughout history. They have been hidden. And so we've had some remarkable people join us in our history as we move about. We had a couple of people on. I don't know whether they lost connection or what, but hopefully they will rejoin us. Again, if you have questions, comments, suggestions, we'll be on for 60 minutes. I will open the microphones at a later point after we've gone through most of the bulk of what we have done. And that number is 646-668-8217. I suggest you write that number down, have it somewhere handy, because the shows on Crown Talking Drums, that is the way to contact and be on the dashboard of the host who can open the microphone and talk with you and entertain your questions, your comments, your suggestions, your disagreements. But as we do this, we want to make sure that we are adult about it. One of the biggest problems that we have is that we have been taught not to bring up the subject of race. Do not bring it up. Age. A kid has a question. And many times they are questions that adults have thought about. Why is that person's skin dark? Oh, shut up. We don't talk about that. These types of reactions leave an indelible mark on the person who at that point doesn't know why you don't want to talk about it. Most of us don't want to talk about the subject because we don't know how to. We're afraid that we might offend somebody. And there are many people, and I talked about the fact that many people are carrying around a weight with them because the way history has been portrayed, you were either a slave or a slave owner. That's not factual. Because as we look, 2% of Americans owned slaves. In the most populous area where this was the practice, it may have approached 6%, which means there were lots of people who were not. There were many people in the South that did not believe in the practice. There are many people that rendered aid and assistance to people trying to run away. And we look at our history and we find that when people did run away, federal government passed laws that said that you had to help return that slave into slavery, even if you didn't believe. And this came because they were considered property. They were making many people in the South wealthy, filthy, rich. And this is why we have to be very concerned about the practice, because you don't want people to be articulate, to know where they came from, to know what they could do. If you wanted to force them to work. And this is what it amounts to. Now we can go back to, it was a Portuguese writer who well before the start of slavery was paid to write to depict people from Africa as being subhuman. It goes back that far. And I can't remember his name at the present time, but we will look at him at a later point. And this is what happened. So we had people that were able to determine their future, what they could do. And when World War II broke out, now there has not been a war in this country where black people have not fought, put their lives on the line for this country. And in many cases, we have not let people know that this happened. When we look at the 6888, which was an all-black, all-female postal unit that served in England and France, that did remarkable work, we didn't even acknowledge it until 75 years after they returned. This was an entire battalion of black women. And what we have done is, at this point, there's less than half a dozen still alive. But we had them do jobs that were difficult to do. There was such a backlog of mail that mail coming in was being undeliverable, because many times people would put a name on a package and basically just send it. You have a person named Robert Smith. Well, there are many Robert Smiths in the military, so how do you keep track of them? They came up with a system like that. It was estimated that the entire battalion would take 6 months to get this backlog taken care of. They did it in 3 months. But every war, we have done so, and we've done so with the intent of showing that we were loyal to this country, that we were willing to put our lives on the line for this country. And I find that in my hometown of Spartanburg, South Carolina, was one of the greatest units ever in World War One. They were the Harlem Hellfighters. They fought longer than any other American unit. But yet and still, I didn't know about it, and I'm right here. I have been to the camp where they were housed. The mayor was saying, we will not lift a finger to help these people. But I want to get back to Oregon. So in World War II, we needed ships. We needed them in the worst way. And so Kaiser, the metal guy, had a shipyard, or was building a shipyard, and he needed people to work that shipyard. And so they advertised for people to come to work there. The location of the shipyard was on the Columbia River. And to those of you that are not familiar with geography and many other concepts there, the Columbia River basically forms the border between Oregon and Washington. It starts in the north, flows into Canada, flows north, then turns and flows south, and turns and forms the border, most of the border between Oregon and Washington. And near the mouth, down towards Portland is in Oregon, Vancouver is in Washington. They're like twin sisters. Vanport was the name of the town, and that was a portmanteau of Portland and Vancouver. Many people came there. Many black people came there. They were housed there. It was almost a model city in many ways, and in many other ways it was typical of the United States, let's say. And in that particular condition, these people came there, but they were able to attend the same schools because they refused to have separate school systems. And this is something unusual for America. They had communities there. And while they were not integrated as we sometimes think of integration, most of them were clustered in little spots there. One of the reasons that we know about Vanport is that it was destroyed in a day. Basically, one day the town was there, the next day it was gone. What happened? The Columbia River flooded. The Columbia River there's a gorge in parts of that river, and it was carved out when the Missoula Dam in Montana breached. It was from the Ice Age and sent enormous quantities of water down the river gorge. Now you may see it because windsurfing in parts of it is fantastic because the winds pick up speed as they go through parts of that gorge. It's remarkable scenery down through there. Multnomah Falls. Many of you may have seen pictures of Multnomah Falls. Multnomah is not that far from Portland. And we did have other people that lived in Portland, but when Oregon was founded as a state, their constitution had an exclusion clause in it. No blacks. In fact, if you were not there when the constitution was put in, because there were some black people in Oregon, limited numbers, but if you were not there and came in later, that constitution provided that you could be whipped every 6 months until you left. Now, I don't find any evidence that that penalty was ever imposed on people, but it's there. And why would history leave that out? Because it's so important. We had people in Portland area. We had people in Vancouver, in Washington. In fact, most of us don't realize that there was an individual in Olympia, Washington, by the name of Charles, I believe it was Charles Williams. Let me take a look here and see. Charles Mitchell, who almost sparked an international incident because in Washington, he had been taken there by a official. Part of his being there, there were people in Vancouver, Canada, British Columbia. Most people don't know this either, but the first governor of Vancouver and British Columbia was an individual by the name of James Douglas. James Douglas was black. But we don't get that information. The historians don't want you to know. What they are told is to tell about the people in the South that were under the oppressive system of slavery. We see so many depictions. You got a good master. Yasser's got a good master. If you didn't say that, you could be beaten. If you tried to run away, they had a list of punishments that would be imposed on you. This is in the southern states. And when that happened, if you tried to run away, I think first or second time, anyway, there is a schedule. You could have an ear cut off. You do it again, you can have the other ear cut off. You do it again, you can have a foot cut off. This is the way that black people were there. In fact, if you were even freed under the terms of most states, all of the people that you know are around you. Because when we came to this country, we didn't have a decision on where we were going to be. Your friends, your family, your wife, your children may be in that state, and in most cases were. But you could be sold off. You could be sold to a different state. But if you got your freedom, you had a year to get out of the state, or else you could be re-enslaved They didn't want people around that knew anything about freedom. They didn't want people trying to get freedom. In fact, there is a psychological term, drapetomania, which has been designated as a disease of black people who are seeking freedom. And if the question comes up, do I suffer from it? You better believe that I am, because I want to be free. I don't want to be enslaved. I don't want to be incarcerated. I want my freedom to do what I want to do. And I'm finding that voice. I'm finding it now. But under the lure of ads being placed all over the country, come out here. We've got work for you. The Great Migration was fueled by the fact that black people did not have opportunities in the South. When we talk about sharecropping, oh, sounds like a very, very fair deal. But remember, most of the people that were in these conditions could not read or write or calculate. And so they were taken advantage of. You have a bumper crop. I mean, this is a massive crop that they haven't seen for years. Well, we just barely broke even. And here's a biscuit for you and everything else for me. Because they had to start in debt. They had to start by buying the seed, buying the equipment to farm. And it was at a giant markup. So we were always in the hole. But when we come back to World War II, and we have to understand, and I'm trying to put pieces of this together because it's difficult, and some people are not going to find it, but I suggest that you go to AmazingBlackHistory.com. We post new posts every week. In fact, they give you a preview of the primary topic that we're going to be talking about on this show. Now, I'm going to open the mics shortly, but I want to give you that number again. One of the people that was on earlier, I see, has returned. And that number is 646-668-8217. 646-668-8217. Now, what we did is we had opportunity is all we wanted. We wanted the opportunity to be treated fairly. Most people don't realize that after Lincoln was killed, now we had three amendments to the Constitution. The first one granted freedom. It wasn't the Emancipation Proclamation. The Emancipation Proclamation freed the slaves that were formerly part of the United States. Formerly part of the United States. And this is important because when we left the colonization of England, what did we do? We formed a constitution. We had a president, a vice president, secretary of state. That was the first three people in the line of succession should something happen. And we became a country. What did they do after William Henry Gish started the ball rolling in terms of a country? William Henry Gish was the governor of South Carolina, that the first state to secede from the Union, leave the Union. They formed a constitution. They had a president, a vice president, secretary of state. They had everything. They were a separate country. In those countries where the Union forces had taken over, those slaves were freed. But there were four states that had slaves that remained in the United States, and they did not free a single person there. So we need to be careful because we have been given a false bill of goods. 13th Amendment freed the slaves. This is after the South had pledged to come back in and join the United States and recognize the slaves as free people, equal free people. And so what we did at that point is we had the 14th Amendment, and the 14th Amendment guaranteed citizenship to all of those formerly enslaved people. If you were born on American soil, you were an American citizen. This is where that comes from. There are other provisions in the 14th Amendment But Lincoln went too far. The 15th Amendment, which guaranteed the right to vote, resulted in a conspiracy to kill the United States President, Vice President, and Secretary of State, the first three. Lincoln was the only one killed. Johnson, who was a Southerner, immediately started reversing many of the accomplishments and many of the things that we had fought for back to the South. He did that. But when we get to World War II, we haven't fulfilled our promise to the citizens here. We have not. And what we do then is we have an opportunity. People are going to say, get out of my way. I'm going. All I want is an opportunity. All I want is a chance. I want the same chance that you got. Now, part of that we could not get because you have to understand that as slavery was going on, people came over without land and were given land taken from them from the Native Americans. I hate calling them Indians. The only reason we call them Indians is because Christopher Columbus thought he had discovered India. It ain't right. These are Native Americans. And we continue to disrespect them because in many cases we call them by names that they don't call themselves. Now, I don't know the answer to this question, purely rhetorical question. But the Cherokees are called that because those people surrounding them call them Cherokees, which means people who talk funny. Now, do you think the people who talk funny are going to say, I talk funny? No, you talk funny. And so we end up with this situation. When we look at Vanport, we had the backbone or the essence of starting a community based on individuals. They didn't have separate libraries like we often had here or deny access to them because there were so few people there. Now, there was discrimination. There were lots of discrimination. I want you to read that article. I want you to see those videos. Because I lived in Washington State for almost 50 years, and I want you to understand that I did not know anything about it. I'd heard a word or two, but one of the problems that we have is where do I go to find information about this? And I want to tell you, type into your browser, amazingblackhistory.com. Go there. You'll come up on a homepage. That homepage will give you some information, but on there you will also see links to the latest articles. But even more than that, if you click the blog list, it says BLOGLIST, if you'll click that, you will have access to over 300 posts just like this. We need to understand that we are people. We've contributed every day. Now, when I talk about Washington State and Charles Mitchell was in Olympia, which is the capital of Washington State. There were many people, black people, in Vancouver, Canada, which is the next state up. At the 49th parallel is basically the line that separates Canada from America. There were black people there, and they knew that Mitchell was going to stow away on a ship coming into British Columbia. They were there to meet him. When they met him, the captain of the ship had locked him up on board the ship. The black people had the sheriff meet the boat and have a writ of habeas corpus, which means give us the body. Give us the person, and we'll determine if he belongs here or not. You're in Canadian waters, my friends. Yeah, but we're a U.S. ship. No, you're in our waters. And there was almost an international incident over this. But America was not going to go to war over one person. And so he was freed in Canada. And that was an international incident. Now, this took place prior to the Civil War. So what does that tell you? There are a number of people, there are a number of events that we need to know about that we never in our wildest dreams ever thought about. When Lewis and Clark went along the trail to the west, they used the Snake River. The Snake River as a confluence or an intersection with the Columbia River, 10 miles from our house. And what did we find there? We find very little information about York. We find lots of information about Sacagawea, and she deserves it. She's a Native American woman. But York we don't hear about. And it's part of the history of hiding accomplishments of black people, because we were trying to make sure that nobody figured their educational levels. But we are beginning to see that they had lots of it. The people in California, like I said, they are working diligently to present their case to the state of California, which took their land under eminent domain. We have many people that think the only thing lawyers do is get people out of jail. But there are many different forms of law. There's international law, there's business law, patent law, constitutional law. There's so many aspects of it that we don't know about because we don't make ourselves available to it. We look around at concepts and think, oh, man, I don't know what they're talking about, as if we can't look it up. Now, sometimes when we look up things, we can't find them because we don't know how to spell them. Part of it is because we don't know the language that it came from. Many of these are Latin. You can get a law dictionary and look them up. You can also try to search for them in your search engine, and search engines are great because they will often give you the correct spelling. Did you mean this? Yes, that's what I meant. Understand. Once you understand it, that's something nobody can take away from you. Learning is power. And that's why they didn't want us to do it. That, to me, is the reason that I want to know about it, because you don't want me to know, because you know how empowering it is. That number again is 646-668-8217. I'm going to be opening up the mic shortly. We only have 60 minutes today, and I want to give you the opportunity of doing so. So in about 7 minutes, I'm going to open the microphones. But I want to make sure that you understand the concept. We went there. Black people went to Vanport because there was opportunity there. We don't realize what has happened and how we got so segregated. They tried to place most black people in certain little spots within the area, but it was not segregated to the extent that it was in the South. Like I said, there was one school system. Everybody went to the same school system. The superintendent of schools refused to make separate schools. And if they had made separate schools, they would not be equal, not be equal. When we send our kids to school, we need to send them there understanding that they can do excellent work. I have a page that I use on Facebook. It's called Amazing Black History. It's not the same as AmazingBlackHistory.com. But I was impressed the other day with a young lady who is in college at the age of 14, 1-4. She's in college at the age of 14. She's working not only on her college degree, but her master's degree at the same time. Guess what else? She has been accepted into medical school. Accepted into medical school. She's going to be a doctor at 14 years old. When she completes the work on her degree and master's degree, and she's out of high school, she's in college. Does that sound like an inferior ability in any case? She's not the only one. And this had been 30, 40 years ago, we never would have known about her because they would keep it hidden. Many schools would not accept her. But when we look at that, when we look and see that the first governor of British Columbia was a black man, James Douglas. He was born in Guyana. His father was white. His mother was South American. Became the first governor of British Columbia. He was also in charge of Vancouver and Fort Vancouver. Important installations there. We could do it. We don't push ourselves. We don't dream big enough. We have people. And I hope that, and I'm going to get to him in just a minute, my friend James Marshall, I think, is on. And he has followed a lot of this work. What I appreciate about him is the fact that he doesn't just talk about it. He does it. We need to do the same thing. We have cases that take place all over this country. You know, they've released a man that choked a man to death on the New York subway. New York is not the haven that some of us think that it is, because Elizabeth Jennings was thrown off of a streetcar in 1850, on her way to church as a church organist. She and another lady were thrown off because they got into the wrong car on a streetcar in New York City. Have we ever heard that in our lives? No. The person that took her case ended up being, I believe it was Chester A. Arthur, who later became president of the United States. People, now, there are white people around that could be related to him, but they don't look, and they are afraid to look because they think that it may be some slave owner. I don't care if you came from slave owners. You can't do anything about that. I can't do anything about it. But what you can do is speak up now rather than pass this problem on to our children, our children's children, our children's children. It's not fair to them. It's not fair to us, either of us, on any side of this color question, any of us. Because I'm looking now. I have a friend whose wife has dementia. We're going to come up with a cure for it. Us old people haven't done it. It may be that kid that's in the sixth grade now, maybe in high school, maybe the one that we think is not worth influencing. But we find every day, and what I'm trying to do is I try to put a video on that Facebook, Amazing Black History, .com on it. Just go on Facebook, look for Amazing Black History. Every day we see, and I think today's post is on Byron Allen, the comedian. Byron Allen is a billionaire with a B. His mother raised him as a single parent. He and his mother worked together. He owns the Weather Channel. Byron Allen owns the Weather Channel. There are bids now between Byron Allen and the guy that plays, he used to be homeless and lived in a Geo Metro for a while. He has the studios down in Atlanta. I don't know why I'm jamming up on the name. I can see him. He's 6'4". They are bidding to get BET back. It's in white ownership now. What could be better? Because we need to tell our story. one of the reasons there's so much fiction out about the Civil War is that the losing side wrote history. The losing side wrote it. That's why it's so scanty. We will talk about the fact that many people who have been in the military have served at Fort Hood. Fort Hood is named after John Bell Hood, a Confederate soldier who took up arms against the United States. I'm looking at Michelle Howard, a four-star Navy admiral, highest-ranking woman in the Navy. And what did was the first ship that she commanded? The Hunley. The Hunley, which was a Confederate submarine down in North Charleston now, being reconditioned for exhibit. They lost three crews on that thing. The highest-ranking woman is on a ship named after a Confederate ship? Does not make any sense to me. Doesn't make any at all. I am going to open the microphones. I see we have one caller. If anybody else is interested in making comments or anything else, the number is 646-668-8217. But I want you to see that what we were doing is we were seeking opportunities. That's all we wanted. We didn't want a handout. We didn't want welfare. We just wanted a chance to prove ourselves. And the cases where we did do it, we didn't know about it. Maggie Walker, out of Virginia, the first woman of any race to charter and operate a bank. Maggie Walker. Some of you may have heard the name and may not know the story. But all we wanted was an opportunity. Our laws have done so much to keep us down, and we don't know about it because we don't talk about it. That's why I want you to come on. Let's talk about those questions that you have. Let's talk about the comments, the suggestions that you have, because I want to make this show better for everybody around. Now, like I said, Marshall has put his work where his mouth is. He's put his money where his mouth is. He works. And this is what we need. It don't have to spend 40 hours a week, but if you would spend an hour or two when every so often, make a schedule, make a promise, or else we're going to kick this can down the road. We can and will make a difference. Marshall, are you there? Marshall?
Yes, Miss Abercrombie.
How are you, my friend? Hello. How did the work go?
Fine, how are you doing today?
Great.
Fine, fine.
Did we have people come out to the church the other day?
Yes, we went out to the church and we did some miracle work out there. We discovered four graves, and the lady and the relatives of the people that we discovered the graves, one of the ladies belonged to the church, and she came and let us know how grateful she was because she said, "We had done just like everybody else, done buried our relatives and done forgot where they were at, and we uncovered those graves." And we know how that made me feel. And Greg McKee, we all were so elated that we just really didn't know what to do, that somebody would take the time out to come and say thank you. That is one of the things we've done. And the other thing we've done is really, really cleaning up the place again. This is our eighth visit. I think that I started to get out of eight visits that we had made at the park. And we had said we maybe we're going to discontinue it, but after somebody telling me and being grateful, that just gives you the courage to just keep on, keep it on.
Yes, sir. There are lots of graves out there that have grown up because we haven't been able to take care of them. Sometimes we don't even know where they are now anymore.
That's true. That's true. We're so grateful that you were still on the air and still telling the good news. And really and truly, some of the things that you were telling us about, if it wasn't for you telling us, Lord, no, we would never know. And we just grateful for you and keep us the good work. And I'm telling everybody that I can and know. And we still dealing with the Welford City Hall is trying to put the City Hall on the front top of property there. And we're having meetings with them, too, about that. And hopefully that we're going to really get something done and not let them put City Hall where the community park is. So we'll be meeting on the 16th with that out of City Hall at Welford. Want everybody to come out there so you can voice your opinion on the park. That'll be on the 16th at City Hall at 6 o'clock there in Welford.
Okay. Now, I want to mention again that I will be at the Spartanburg Public Library on the corner of Church and Kennedy, I believe it is, on the 31st at 7 o'clock. And I'm going to talk about women in the military. And we've got some amazing stories to tell you about things that have happened all around us that we are never really aware of. And I think it's so important because we have kids that think that they can't do it because they don't see us doing that. And there's a reason that that history has been hidden. And it's been, I'm trying to think of a clean word to say, but they're doing a number on us is what they're doing.
Okay, good. Thank you so much, and we'll be talking later.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and close it out. I don't see any other people that have called in. I want you to use that number. We're on here every Sunday at 4 p.m. That number is 646-668-8217. I appreciate my faithful friend, Marshall, because he works. He knows what's going on. And one of these days we'll get him and Greg McKee on here together and talk about some things because Greg is a phenomenal person. He used to work with the YMCA in Greenville, and he's aware of that plantation over in Greenville where they are keeping up and so much other history that he has looked up. And so just because a person doesn't look like us doesn't mean that they can't join us. And that's what I want to tell so many people that are afraid to look because they think the only thing they're going to find in their ancestry is somebody that enslaved us. Now, I've got people that may have enslaved us because Governor Gist that I talked about owned my mother's ancestors owned them, and I've been to that plantation. We don't realize it, and sometimes we look at names, not realizing that most of the names we have were from our owners, and we may have brothers, sisters that have different last names somewhere back, and say, oh, they ain't whatever, and not knowing that we could be talking about our brother, sister, grandfather, whoever it may be. But I appreciate you, Marshall. Anything else that you'd like to add?
No, everything. But we will be with you on Friday, what, the 31st?
Friday it'll be the 31st. It's a Wednesday.
At the library? Yes, we'll be with you then on the 31st.
Yeah, it's 7 o'clock, and it'll be in the Harley Room, I believe, but there should be information out.
All right. Okay, well, we will find you.
All right, I appreciate you. And to all of the other people that are listening, don't be shy. Join us.
Yeah.
And the program is Did You Know? I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. With that, I bid you all a very blessed week. And thank you. Share this link with someone.
God bless.
Good evening. Have a blessed week.
Yes.